And welcome to the Tales of Long Box podcast. This is episode 349. Spotlight on DC Comics, Curse of Brimstone. Number one, circa 2018. And I am Chris Mosby.
You are breaking up.
Oh, am I? I am so sorry.
Chris, losing you.
I'm still here. I can hear you fine. Hello?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, it was going, like, and
oh,
then...
okay.
So, okay. Ed,
let me, you know what I bet?
Stone. No.
You know what I bet? I bet the boy, one of the boys is using all the bandwidth on his Xbox here. So, anyway, continue. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
Let me...
yes, I am.
Yes. And we are going to speak on... oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and Murray is not. Murray's doing something better. Murray's doing something he thinks is much more fun.
Yeah,
he's wrong.
He's being crafty, I think.
Whatever.
Yeah. Let me... Let me put the Xbox on the lowest priority on the network real quickly.
Yeah.
Boom. There, that should
help. My Duke Nukem is frozen. Or whatever's hot on Xbox.
Yeah.
Nowadays. I have no...
We got them all these games and they're playing free stuff, so that's kind of aggravating.
Yeah.
So anyway...
It's like buying the cat a toy and they play with the box.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, we got one of those New Age of Heroes, Curse of Brimstone here. Yeah, that's what we got. Who wants to start?
So one thing that my biggest question with the whole New Age of Heroes is that other than Sideways, so far, none of them seem to have any connection to metal. I'm just saying that out loud. I'm sure they will. I'm sure at some point they're going to go, this is how it tied into metal. But having suffered through that last issue of metal, I am finding no. So.
I'm thinking, well, the Terrifics does.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I forgot about the Terrifics. That's stupid. And also Challengers will eventually.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing how this one does, and we'll.
Did you
read it yet?
Have you read the Immortals?
I'm dreading reading the Immortals. I'll get to it. It's in my pile. I will.
It's.
Looks like a lot of words.
Well, there is a lot of words, and I kind of like where it's going, but it seems like an X-Men ripoff to me, the story. But that's just. You know, maybe I was like going into it, looking for, because the Terrifics is obviously a take on Fantastic Four, and they even admit that. So ever since I read that, I've been these coming out. I'm like, okay, what are they trying to copy from Marvel? Already in my head, and maybe that's why I didn't really care for this, because I'm thinking Ghost Rider.
Yeah, well,
but anyway, let's do it.
All right, so I'll start it off, and then you jump in. So we get this. First of all, what I think is a really cool cover by somebody whose name I can't quite read down there, but I'm gonna think it's Philip Tan, since he is the artist on this particular issue, this flaming character coming at us. And by the way, Brimstone is not a new name to the DC universe. Brimstone has been in the past for the most part, a villain. Mostly a Firestorm villain, I think.
Yes.
Would be my memory of the character.
Great big, so, huge, big, flaming monster-like thing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, lava character. It was actually featured in the first issue of... I always think of him as the first issue of Legends, when they first introduced the new version of the Suicide Squad way back in the day. So. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. And then we have another cover, which almost looks like it's drawn by Tom Mandrake, but there is no credit on it. So
yeah,
my guess is this is that stretched out cover thing that they've been doing.
Yes.
And because of the limitations of my reader, it's broken it down into three covers.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
And I like the idea of the three stretched out covers, but it you know, because I'm cheap and don't want to spend the money, I get these three broken down cover versions.
I don't think it helps if you buy it on Comixology, so.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah, because I bought Immortals on Comixology, and it was the same.
So, well, that's stupid. Yeah. You know what they should do? At least print it. You know, have a fourth version, a fourth cover, yeah, where it's all three of them laid out. So, you know, yeah, it may be smaller, but at least you could see it as one picture.
Yeah, exactly. I agree totally.
Anyhow, I think it's a cool cover, and I like that last one with that guy's face down there, kind of the guy laying down, but the mask is on top of his face, but facing the wrong way. It's just creepy. I can't even describe it. This whole thing is very demonic, all three covers.
Yeah, it is very Tom Drake-y.
Yes.
I don't know how else
Mandrake.
To say. Mandrake, yes.
Mandrake.
Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I figured. And then we have our ubiquitous ad for No Justice, Justice League No Justice. Mm-hmm. 4 issues weekly in May.
Yeah.
Team Mystery, Team Entropy, Team Wisdom, and Team Wonder.
Yeah, I double-checked here. Double-checked on the Immortal Man. It's exactly like that. Three separate covers. But then they have a full two-page spread ad for some other comic. So, I mean, they could have at least made the effort.
Jackass.
Yeah, well, you know what you're going to do. What are you going to do?
DC. DC. You failed us again.
Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Speaking of, real quick, side note. I saw an article there. People were bitching that DC is not releasing stills fast enough from like Aquaman and upcoming. People were like, "Oh my god, you're so spoiled! Stop, people!"
Yeah. Well, have you seen the big controversy with the Teen Titans live action show?
No. What is it now?
Well, I mean, I have to tend to agree, but the costumes look like crap. But I'm sure there's going to be some CGI to it. I mean, especially for Starfire. And so the person that was made the meme on there was quoting the original source material being the Teen Titans Go cartoon.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad they're staying informed.
Yeah, exactly. So, and somebody called them out on that, though, so I just kind of let that go. Somebody was wrong on the internet, and I didn't say a thing.
They were wrong. The internet, no.
Yes, I know.
But the internet is full of useful information. How could it be wrong?
Exactly.
All right, so we have a cool splash page of the Brimstone character already in play, on fire. His face is on fire. It's creating this very cool effect where he's got like these three little stripes on each side of his face and that are like glowing yellow, orangey, and then his eyes are red, and his whole body is—it's almost doomsday-ish in look, with spikes all over, and his hands are claws. And it says, "Everything burns. It was supposed to be different. This is supposed to save me, save my town, but it all ends the same way. Everything burns." So
yes,
and That's that evening, because now it's earlier that day, and we're looking at a tranquil, if fairly dilapidated town, and it was never a big place, York Hills, but it was a great place before the schools closed, before just about everything from my childhood closed and went away. And my childhood wasn't all that long ago. York Hills was here because of coal. When the coal left, the factories came. When the factories left, well, nothing came. But if you want a job, you need to leave, which means you need a car, which you need a job to have. And we get a really POS beater red truck. It's starting to stall out, and someone in it's yelling, "Come on, come on."
This really hit home, because that's pretty much what it is like around here now. I mean, except for
right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. There's nothing to do here, barely. I mean, if you want to work, you got to pretty much work at Walmart. That's the only, like, the biggest employer here. And, you know, it's, if I hadn't left 15, you know, left for 15 years and come back already with a career, it probably would be in the same boat.
You're lucky to have a job that allows you to be there, but not necessarily work there, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Remote. Mm-hmm.
So then we get our hero. He's in the car. His car is stalled out and frustrated. Someone's honking behind him, and he's like, "Yeah, I know. I can see the light too, man. The light is turning green in front of him. Stoplight." And the voiceover continues. "This piece of crap car probably isn't enough to get me over the mountain to the job I just applied for. Keeping this thing running takes all the money I have, so I can't get a new car. It's a trap."
Yeah.
And his car is stalled out. And there's a car behind him honking. He's like, "I'm trying, damn it. This car, this town, this place, it's a trap. I know it's a trap. It's a trap." Sorry.
Yeah,
the Star Wars out for a minute there.
No, I used to call this town that I grew up in the Tatooine of United States. You know, it's like the furthest place from the bright spot in the universe.
And let me see. The car finally starts up, and the guy who was honking it behind him says, "Keep your piece of crap off the road, Chamberlain. Some of us have jobs." And our hero pulls into a diner, and he's still bitching about where he lives. He's still talking about how it's a forgotten place with forgotten people, and he's still there's still some good things in here. And he kind of storms into the coffee shop. And there's someone reading at a table, and I need coffee, lots of coffee, and redheaded woman looks very similar to him.
Mm-hmm.
Telling him, "Hey, aren't you supposed to be getting a job?" And he drops at a table, head down. There and back again. Application stalled out. Interviews probably never. "Shouldn't you be studying, Annie? And she lectures back at him. "Believe it or not, despite the near constant stream of high tipping customers, I actually do manage to find time to study." And kind of implying that the diner is not the hot spot she would hoped it would be for tips and pay. And she's studying. You can see in a table in the background, all of her study materials actually spread out on the table. That's like me at work. All my study materials. It says, "Gianni doesn't mind, so long as the work he allegedly pays me for gets done."
Right.
And our hero says, "You shouldn't have to do this. You're my brother," she says, "not my keeper, Joe." So his name is Joe Chamberlain. That's our hero. "This isn't on you. Besides, someone has to keep the money coming. Dad's disability doesn't go far." And he's staring at his cup of coffee. And I love that panel where his face is right up next to the coffee.
Yeah.
And he says, "You don't have to do that. You can't do that. Just focus on getting the nursing degree. We can manage. We always do." So it's very exposition-y.
Yes.
Very, very exposition-y. And in walks our town's law enforcement. And he said, "Coffee. I need coffee. You on second again, Officer Figard? Sorry, Annie. Can't answer questions before caffeine. You want a side of contemplation with that? God, no. The last thing I need is think about my life. That way lies bad mojo," he says. And then he walks over to Joe and he says, "Mr. Chamberlain, Tom, how's your dad? I haven't seen him for a spell. He's fine. How are you doing? How about you? You doing all right? You care? I ask." And Joe storms out. He says, "I'm fine. See you at home, Annie." And Tom continues talking to Annie. And he says, "I have the strong suspicion he doesn't actually like me." And she says, "If I were to hazard a guess, that's probably because you've arrested him half a dozen times." He says, "That's about right. Thanks for the coffee. I have a feeling it's going to be a long night." And Joe continues. He's got a pile of bills in his hand. He says, this town has lost so much, it's easy to forget what we all still have. We still care about each other. We still have that. And he looks up. He starts to smile. And he says, I'm just about sure you're actually trying to make us fat, Mrs. Gearhart. And this old chubby lady with a plate full of food says, I don't see you not eating my cookies, Joe. You didn't need to do that, he says. No, I didn't need to, but I wanted to. Andy Brumbaugh got hurt this morning trying to trim trees. I know he and your father are friends. Does Dad know, says Joe. Didn't have the heart to wake him. That's not your job, says Joe. It's what neighbors do, she says. And what they did, or what they did, at least. Not much neighboring to go around these days. No, I guess not. So, you make sure your sister gets some of the cookies, okay? I know about how you and your father are with the snickerdoodles. And he says, one time. We didn't save her any one time. But thank you for these. I'll make sure Annie gets some. And she smiles. Mm-hmm. And we pull back in this town. This town needs an enema.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is one. That is a great, that stretched out panel at the bottom there.
Yeah.
That is really nice. I see, I know that you know, you're iffy on this issue.
Yeah.
But Philip Tan, all the way back to when he was doing Outsiders, way back in the day, I've always loved his stuff.
Oh, you know, well, yeah, I gotta agree. I like that. I don't know. It's just the more I think about this panel right here is what really hit me. Because
the dad?
Yes. Because my father, he's going on 80. He still has to work, but they're making him retire. He's got COPD because of all the fumes that he's inhaled in working in machine shops for the last 50, 60 years, however many. And all this other stuff, and my mother, she can barely walk, and everything else, and it was like that right there got me. And I guess I didn't want reading you. I read comics to forget about that crap, and then here's this. This is my life right here, or my father's life, and I don't know. I guess that's what it was, but it. The fact that it made me think like that, though, I guess is a testament to the good writing and the art, because it's very realistic. So I'll put it that way. I'm trying to put a positive spin on my feelings on it, I guess.
All right. Well, you want me to continue, or are you good to take it from this point?
I'll take it. I'll take it.
All right. Go for it.
So we see several panels put together to make it kind of look like one. It's an interesting choice.
He does that.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think what else of his that I've read that I liked, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I've always liked his art too. You see a man, I can't under this blag, I don't know what says something about life on his shirt.
Yeah, I couldn't decipher that either.
he's half asleep in a recliner with it sitting up. He's got a cane laying to the side. He's obviously falling asleep watching television. Our protagonist is talking about his father, and like I was just saying, this reminds me a lot of, not all my father, but my mom and dad put together. This is pretty much how they are right now, and it's very sad. Dad got hurt at SEPA right before the factory closed. He was doing what rightly should have been the work of two or three guys, and that's exactly what my dad does. He's on disability, but Andy's right, it doesn't go near far enough. He worked hard his whole life, and he deserves better. He gave the company everything, and they gave him near to nothing. Nothing but medical bills and a back that only even lets him walk about half the time. And he picks up a pile of stuff and says, bills, bills, bills. And he continues thinking, I wish there was something to make this place good again, make it great. People could, if people could just see this place, it would be different. It could be a place people come to, not a place where people move away from. I'd give anything to make that happen. Anything at all. Well, be careful what you wish for, sir. Anyway, we go to a night scene, and we see a cop car hiding with a speed trap. And it looks like an old 70s model Monte Carlo, Chevy Monte Carlo with red stripes, black with red stripes, kind of like Knight Rider.
I was going to say kind of like in Supernatural, but they don't. Yeah. That's not what they drive.
Yeah. No, they drive like a Chevelle or something like that, don't they?
I forget. My daughter would know.
I started watching that, but I've like maybe three episodes, and I just didn't get into it. But that's probably what it's closer to, because it's got the you can tell from the front, it's a older model like that. So anyway, he pulls the guy over, and he says, "I swear to you," because he's going real fast. "I didn't even see the speed limit sign. You might be surprised to learn it doesn't mean there wasn't one, sir." Oh, I like that answer. "I'm running a bit behind, so I was pushing my luck. I'll push it a little further. Is there a way to make this go away, officer?" And, oops, wrong window. Here we go. Okay, so you can see his eyes are starting to glow. "Something I could offer you," and it almost makes the policeman do the same, but apparently his will is stronger than the average person, and he shakes it off. "No, all I want from you is your license and registration, sir. You are a rarity, officer. Figard," I almost said Picard, but then I looked closer. "a man at peace with his station. Unfortunately, we can't be having that. Very fortunately, you've taken up enough time for the hound to catch up. You stop that, stop right," and then behind him is "hello" with some glowy 47 eyes. Well, maybe more like 6 or 7, but still. So it looks like. And then,
"hello."
Yeah, and next thing you know, he's in the car with him. "You know, my dear and faithful hound, I do find your playtime rather chilling." And then you see the guy, and he's completely frozen like a popsicle, Captain Cold style.
Poor Figard.
Yep.
Poor Figard.
Yeah, yes. "Your love of puns is worse, much worse," the hound replies. "Always a critic. Now, we are almost late for an appointment with Mr. Chamberlain. He should just about be ready. So let's see. Back over to the Chamberlain home. The caption says, $152. That's what we're short. I need to pay tuition for the next semester. That's not right. We had enough. I know we did. How many times have I said that? We did. Now we don't. And I for sure like to know why. It'll be okay, Ann. It's coming back. It's like, Dad, what did you do?
Yeah, Joe knows something's going on.
Yeah. Andy needed the money. He'll pay me back. He's good for it. He just hit a bad stretch. He's good for it. Yeah, that sounds like something my parents would do. It's not coming back. Andy damn near took off his leg this morning with a chainsaw. Okay. That was the, I don't know if that was the girl. No, it was the guy, the kid said that. And the sister says, okay. I can find a way to make this work. I'll see if Ghani has more shifts for me to pick up. He took our money and got himself hurt. Now we're both worse off than before. And then the old man's, the father saying, this is my house you're living in. That's my money that keeps the lights on. I gave you everything. Then the kid says, you didn't give us anything. All you gave us was a future just as bad as yours. This place used you up, and now you want that for us too. Sister says, Joe, you can't just leave. No, I can't, but you can. Out of this house, out of this town. I won't let him chain you to this place. I won't. And he takes off.
So, So we see this lizard here.
Yeah.
So up to this point, I thought we were like in like West Virginia or something. But maybe we're in like New Mexico.
That's a good point. Usually coal mining towns are up in, like you said, Virginia.
But they have Arizona as well as New Mexico have huge mining stuff still going on. Mm-hmm. So maybe we
Yeah, I was thinking even maybe like in Kentucky or something like that, too.
But that lizard says no.
Well, the fact that the lizard is there, and later on panels you see like a snake and stuff, maybe that is a product of what's about to happen.
Maybe. I think perhaps we are in the Southwest.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
All right, you want me to finish this off?
Yeah. This particular scene right here has happened to me many times in the old Barracuda that I used to have, and in the Beretta, and in the car I have now.
That sucks. So his car stalls out. It's actually kind of a cool three-panel setup where we don't actually see the car stalling. We get a sound effect in the left panel. The middle panel is the truck sitting there, and it's still. And then the third panel is him kicking the front of the car, which I've done that on occasion. He's like, no, come on, please, just enough to get back home. You can go right to hell with everything else then. And he's yelling at the truck. It's freezing cold. And he's got his, it almost looks like that Death of Superman t-shirt.
Yeah, that's exactly. Came back with? Now, see, yeah, he calls it York Hills, and it looks like there's a bunch of trees and stuff there. Does that sound like? Because I mean, Look at those. Oh, okay. Well, you know, Warren, I've never been to New Mexico, so I wouldn't know.
Well, but again, they don't give us a location per se. So,
well, yeah, and it could
I'm
be.
I'm sure they will.
Makeup place too.
Yeah. And so I always figured I'd die in York Hills. I really didn't think I'd die so freaking stupidly, though. And says, here lies Joe Chamberlain, froze to death because his piece of crap truck broke down. And then a bright light and blinds me and says, hey. And car pulls up and says, you look like you could use some help. And it's our guy who was confronted by Officer Figard a couple of pages ago. Yeah. Joe's looking in the window. He says, do I know you? And the guy says, not yet, Joe. But I think you'll want to hear what I have to offer. Besides, it's cold. Get in. And we'll get you warmed up. And Joe says, not from around here. And the guy says, no, I'm not. I've traveled a long way to find places like York Hills. And Joe actually gets in the car. Yikes a hootie.
Yeah. All
right. Clearly not from the big city.
No, he's not thinking clearly at all.
That's a first. Not a fan of small town life, Joe. It's not small town life that's the problem. It's the small death. York Hills, places like York Hills, they're dying and no one cares. They're not a damn soul. There's not a damn soul in Metropolis or Gotham that cares what happens out here. I care, says the man, very much. Places like this might be forgotten and forsaken by most, but not by me. Not the company I work for. I believe York Hills might be exactly what we're looking for. And this is another cool panel. It's kind of looking from above over on top of the car. Joe's car is still sitting there stalling on the side of the road. And as you said a moment ago, there's a snake going through the panel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very very Voldemort.
Yep.
And they continue their drive. And Joe says to the guy, he says, is this the pitch? You're a salesman? The guy says, I'd like to think I'm the salesman. And yes, Joe, this is absolutely a pitch. I can do many things, but I won't ever lie. The home office sends us out looking for places exactly like York Hills. There is potential here. A chance to change these towns into places the world has never seen. But we can't do it alone. We need agents, people who really know these places and can get them ready for the home office to set up permanent operations. And Joe says, yeah, it sounds great. It always does. And the salesman continues, so what do you want? What can we give you? I want something that will put this place on the map, something to make this town a place people want to come to again. This place used to be good, but now Mrs. Gearhart will die alone because everyone who could leave did, and she was left behind. Andy's going to be under medical bills for his leg. And Annie, my sister, can't end up like this. She's studying to be a nurse. She has to get out of here, start someplace new. I love this town, but, and he says it again, it's a trap. It's got me. I didn't have the grades for an education, and I don't have the money to start over. But Annie, she's smart. I won't let this place drag her down. I'd give up anything to free her from that. Free everyone from that. Anything. Guy says, done. Holds out his hand and says, become our agent, and I will give you exactly what you asked for. All you have to do is shake my hand.
Yeah.
So Joe, being not the smartest bulb, grabs the guy's hand, shakes it.
Well,
the guy starts smiling, eyes glowing.
Drove him to desperation. Starts
burning. And he says, you're right. You know, about this town, no one cares. It could blow away and nothing would be missed. As could you, your sister. You have a fire in your Joe. I can smell it, taste it inside you, on you. The sweet stench of desperation. The desperate can so often see what others cannot. See things as they truly are. And at no point is there exclamation marks.
He's just
kind of talking. And as the panels start to burn, this guy's face gets that mask on it from the cover, a kind of mask that covers the top part of his, you know, his head.
Yeah,
and
it looks
then down
like it's
just above it, just below his nose.
It actually looks upside down. There's teeth on the top. If you look
at it. Yeah, it's like on the cover, that's how it looked. Like he was lying down, but the face was.
Oh, yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Backwards. So, and he's smiling a little bit. His eyes are glowing red. And, oh my God, what a great two-page spread.
Yeah, that's something.
And they're shaking hands, Joe and the stranger, and their hands are burning. And Joe's like, what are you doing? Nothing but what you asked for. I will make this town a place people will travel from all over to see, or rather you will. This might sting a bit, or perhaps, well, more than a bit. Power is always painful, and Joe is on fire. Ah, what did you do to me?
Literally on fire.
He is literally on fire. His whole being is burning. And the guy continues, what you feel is the home office reshaping your flesh, making you a proper agent. And Joe's crawling at him. He's like, please, no. Salesman continues, you know, I made a few of these deals now, and no one has ever asked about the hows and whys before saying yes.
Yeah, of course.
And then Joe basically explodes, and he still has that Superman t-shirt on. That's a very cool panel by Cam. And I saw, Joe's eyes. That's Joe, by the way, not the salesman.
Yes.
And in the background, we see the whole kind of transformation going on. I wish I had the words to describe it, but it's almost like the man evolving from the ape to man.
Gruesome.
What's that called?
Evolution.
Thank you. Evolution. That's the word.
That's fine. Words are hard.
And this salesman continues, of course, it probably wouldn't have helped. I am given great latitude as to how the power of the home office is applied through their agents. I thought since this was a coal mining town, I'd give you something appropriate. Isn't that right? And brimstone. And the whole panel is exploding. We see kind of scenes from around the town of the town that Joe lives in. They look like they're all on fire, and we see his dad, and we see Joe melting down, and we see his sister asleep studying.
Flames all around.
Flames everywhere. Fireballs shooting off here, there, everywhere. And I will keep my promise. I will give you what you ask for. What you will do to this town, what brimstone will do to this town, and we get that cool facial structure starting, and there's a firestorm going on. It's certainly going to be something to see. And yeah, the whole town is caught up in fire tornadoes, it looks like.
Yeah.
And it says The Curse of Brimstone Inferno, Part 1, by Philip Tan and Justin Jordan. Justin Jordan did the dialogue. Rain Barreto, I don't know, is the colorist, who did a really good job, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
Wes Abbott lettered it, and Tan and, I gotta say, Bered did the cover.
Sure.
Anyhow, I can't, can you read that name?
Tan.
I blame the letterer.
Oh, well, it's the same guy that did the colors.
Right, but I'm just saying, is it Bered? I guess it's Bered. Anyhow,
yeah, Bered.
Yeah, Bered.
Okay.
Anyhow, so it's that's the end of the issue.
Yeah.
He's exploding. Everything is exploding out of him.
Yes. Very interesting.
He's shooting fire here, there, and everywhere.
Then they have a preview of the challengers. New challengers.
Which should be good.
Yep. It should be interesting. I've always liked Kubert's work, so.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're doing with this. That has been one of the conceits of this particular venture, is to make the artist the primary credit. But sadly, as we've seen from the advertisements and such, most of these artists are not making it past issue 3. And in some cases, barely made it through issue 1.
Yeah, I'm
looking at Jim Lee.
Yeah, like, we didn't know that was going to happen, though.
Yes. No, Jim Lee apparently didn't even finish issue 1, let alone
really?
Do issue 2.
I didn't know that.
He had to have assists on issue number 1.
Oh well, he's so busy spending all his money, so.
Well,
he used to live in Italy at one point, didn't he?
I don't know.
Seems like he did. Anyway, all right then.
It's a rough life from living in your parents' basement to choosing which house you're going to live in.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go to the summer house today. Reading it through it again, there's nothing really wrong with it, except for my own prejudice, I guess. But it seems like I don't know. I'm going to check it out, just see what happens. I kind of like the Immortal Men, except for, you need to read, just check it out. What the hell?
I will. I'll get to it. I'll get to it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else.
If you get a chance, the Silencer is a good book. Think you would.
No, I like that one. I'm actually paying
as a Batman
for that
fan.
One.
As a Batman fan, I think you would think that was because it's got a lot of ties to Batman.
Yeah. Well, John Romita Jr. doing the art. I'm there.
Okay.
I just haven't caught up with it. I've got the last issue ready to read. I'm way behind. That's one thing I'm going to do on my vacation is read lots.
Well, I've already quit. The Damage.
Oh, well, I didn't get past the first issue, so. I'm trying to think. Silencer or what? No, Sideways. That's the one.
I'm on issue. I was actually reading issue 3 just before we started, so I have to finish it. I think it's fun. I think it has a Spidey.
Oh, definitely, definitely Spider-Man vibe. So, what did you read the news about what's going to happen after that Justice League No Justice thing?
Only that there's going to be 3 new Justice League books.
Yeah, I guess they're going to have a new Teen Titans and Nightwing's going to be running it, I guess. So they're going to, like, combine the Titans and the Teen Titans book into one, basically.
No, they're still 2 separate books.
Are they?
In the solicitations for Titans, it says,
I read it wrong.
After the events of Teen Titans number whatever, can the Titans survive? It's
interesting.
They may be one team, but it's still two books.
Huh, interesting. I'll have to check it out.
Unless we forget, this upcoming Wednesday, Action Comics Books 1000 comes out.
Yes, I actually bought a physical copy of that. Of course, I think it's in hardcover. I don't remember. I bought it months ago. Should be showing up almost on comic book day, I think, in the mail from DCBS.
Did you get the what did you get, the 75 years of Superman thing, or did you get Action Comics number 1000?
Let me double check. Well, they've got it. They've had it on Amazon for a while. But let me look at my order. Uno momento.
Because I know that Superman 1000 or what, not 1000, the 75 years of Superman or whatever it's called is hardcover. It's all those reprints, but it has the,
oh,
the
maybe that's
quote
what I
unquote
got.
never before published.
No, it says Action Comics number 1000, 80 years cool. of Superman hardcover.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
That's I don't what know. I guess you'll find out.
Yeah, I'll find out. It should be here, looking at FedEx, actually.
Should be Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday by the end of the day, it says here.
Yep.
Yeah.
So no waiting in lines for you.
No, sir. Well, I can never make it to the shop anyway, because it's the only place, the closest place is half hour away, and, you know, there's work and kids and everything else, so.
You're on vacation. Don't even.
Well, you got a point. You got a point there. That's true. But you never know.
Take the kids. Go to the comic store.
I could do that, I guess.
There's a day out. There's how you kill 2 hours.
Yeah, that's true. Or hey, that's
or
not
go, a bad or idea. Or go take him to go see A Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I'm going to probably drag him to Free Comic Book Day, though, for sure.
When is that? I don't even know.
First Saturday in May.
Oh,
whatever
okay.
day
oh,
that
yeah,
is.
Around the corner here. Okay.
Yeah, the comic shop that I go to when I get to go in Joplin has already got their books. I saw a picture on their Facebook page.
Ooh.
Yes.
It has a yeah. It looks like there's some good stuff for Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I ordered some through DCBS too. So I always go.
DCBS.
Yes, I go on there once a month to get things that I think there would be no way for me to pick them up when they come out. So, and it's always 50% off. That's where I get those omnibuses and stuff. Which I'm running out of room around here.
All right. Well,
yes.
I got to go to the gym, and then I got to go to a softball game.
Okay. Nope. I gotta head out myself. So, all right. Yes. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@tellsfromthelawnbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can join us on a Facebook page and look at a blank page that nothing ever posted on. I know, that sounds terrible. I need to do something more.
Just destroy the page. Nuke it.
No, I'm not going to do that. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah, you can always comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is it for this week. We are out.